Beyond the Fourth Wall, an audio look at the visual arts in Denton, Texas, the home of happiness. Streaming live from the historic Campus Theater in beautiful downtown Denton, Texas. And once again, my co-host is an empty chair. That's right, folks. The best dressed man in Denton has stood me up again. Mike, if you're out there listening, I just want you to know I wasn't kidding. I'm changing the entire format of the show. It will now be known as the Damon Show, and this is how it's going to work. I will come every week as a guest, and I will have a new host who will interview me. So there you go. Please, please get back here. I need somebody to make fun of. And all right, folks, grab your Marxalots. I'm going to run down the calendar of coming events to around town. The first is War of the Worlds, and this will be November 1st at the Point Bank Black Box. That's at 318 East Hickory in Denton, Texas. And this will be November 1st and 2nd at 8 and November 3rd at 2 p.m. This is our Halloween show, and it is a recreation of the Orson Welles original radio broadcast. Then we have You're in Town, which is just a crazy comedy. It satires capitalism, social irresponsibility, bureaucracy, corporate mismanagement. Do not let the title fool you. And with a name like You're in Town, you know it's got to be good. That begins November 8th, and we will be talking about that more on the show as it gets closer. And then, of course, we've got Beaujolais and More, which is this theater's only fundraiser. And one of the biggest parties in town every year. They fly in Beaujolais from France and other wines, local wines. And I'll tell you, I am not a wine connoisseur. I couldn't tell you if it came from France or out of a cardboard box. But what I do love about this event is there are over 20 restaurants in town, restaurants and caterers that provide food. So it's a nonstop orgy of food and drink. That's $25 a person, and begins at 5:30. There are door prizes. Tickets are now on sale, and you can find out more about those from this box office. And running right now at the Campus Theater is Music Theater of Denton's Young Frankenstein, and that will be going on this weekend, Friday and Saturday, 7:30, and then Sunday is the 2 o'clock matinee. And my guest tonight is Mr. Bill Kirkley, the co-director of this show. And hello, Bill.
Hi, Damon. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing just fine, even without my sidekick.
You know what? I think you look good with this chair to yourself.
You know, I do, too. So I've known you for quite a while. You're one of the regular directors here. You direct a lot of shows here, and but I never worked with you until we did a show called Don't Dress for Dinner.
I recall.
And I want to thank you for casting me in that. It was one of the most fun times I had on stage.
Well, thank you for all your hard work on that show and all you do in all your shows.
Just a crazy, fun farce. But now you're doing Mel Brooks' Young Frankenstein.
Mm-hmm.
So how's that going?
Well, it's a labor of love. We began almost a year ago planning the show and brought on the directorial staff. I co-directed with Eileen Stark, whom I did the producers with 3 summers ago, another Mel Brooks musical. And we brought Cindy Lee in, who was the choreographer on that show as well, and we got our stage management in place, and we got our music director, John Noreen, had stepped in. We lost our original gentleman who had to bail out because of some personal matters, and John stepped right in. And we began 10 weeks ago, we had auditions, and 8 weeks ago, we started rehearsal. And last weekend we opened the show, and it was very well received, and audience reaction has been very, very favorable, and ticket sales seem to be going well. I'm pleased as punch with the progress the show has made, and so many, I guess, moving parts, as you will. I always think about a juggler keeping all the balls in the air, and that's what a show like this is. So we're
caught a Sunday. It's a really big show with, like you said, a lot of moving parts.
Yeah, we're very, very lucky to have had somebody like Philip Lamb, who was so integral into the visual aspects of the show. He did all the digital scenery design.
And that is really impressive. You might want to explain this. They're like projections.
Right, yeah. The centerpiece of the set is a screen that 9 feet by 12 feet that we project a great deal of the transitional material on the backgrounds to kind of move effortlessly from scene to scene rather than stopping the show to bring large amounts of scenery on stage.
And folks, I got to tell you, if you haven't seen the show with these this digital technology, it is really impressive. I mean, you'll see trains coming and fog and ghosts. And
it allows you to go to a lot of different locations.
Exactly.
And it also brings a lot of different textures and colors into your production. But Philip actually began 6 months ago working on the design work so that we already had a ground plan of what his work was going to look like. And then we based the physical scenery that was built to match his.
Oh, that's interesting.
So it was kind of seamless, yeah.
Right.
It was all unified in that regard.
So the computer graphics actually sort of came first.
Yeah, that was what we built, based everything on, and that also kind of helped influence the costume design.
Well, that's interesting, and I do want to mention again that your co-director for this is Eileen Stark, and Eileen,
yes.
If you're out there, it is completely my fault that I am not interviewing you as well tonight. I am very lazy. I do zero homework for this show. That's why it sounds so good. And but I hope to have you here very soon. So what is it like to work with Ms. Stark?
I think Eileen is a very intelligent and just grounded lady when it comes to theater. She has an extensive background in education. She taught in high school theaters for years. She's judged UIL. She's very well versed. She's very knowledgeable. She's kind of a dramaturg in a sense. Eileen also loves to oversee costumes and properties for a show, the props, the hand props and things like that. She likes to design. She likes to have a, you know, kind of an authentic feel. So when Eileen and I worked together, as we did in the producers and on this show, she would oversee those elements and I would oversee the lighting and the scenic design. And so we kind of, you know, split it up on each other's plates. But Eileen is very respectful. She channels a lot of her thoughts to me personally, and then I share them with the cast. She's never one to step on toes. She's never one to go behind my back and you know, sort of talk out of school. She's always been very respectful, and the cast, I think, appreciates her comments being channeled through one voice and not feel like mommy and daddy are fighting.
Now, there's this show does have some
bawdiness.
Bawdiness.
There you go.
I was going to
yes,
say.
Yes, ribaldry. That's an SAT word.
So, not really a family show per se, but how old would you say it's okay to bring a kid to?
Well, I think I saw the original black and white film that Mel Brooks did in, what was it, 70, mid-70s was the original.
Early, yeah,
I can't remember. I know, but I was probably 9 or 10, I guess, when I saw that. And, you know, it was a movie, and because times have changed and things have grown up a little bit, we're making our musicals a little racier, and we get away with a little bit more. So, yeah, there's a little more sex and innuendo and a lot more of the sort of, I guess, the good-natured sexual ribbing and politics.
So maybe 10 years
old? I'm thinking maybe, you know, junior high-ish to high school, probably.
Right.
It depends on...
Perhaps a sophisticated 12-year-old.
Yeah, a sophisticated 12-year-old who likes Noel Coward. There you go. But I did recommend that they originally had a rating on the poster, and I said, we're not a ratings board. We're a theater, and I don't think it's up to us to determine what a show would fit in somebody's, you know, view of what was appropriate. I said, I think the safest bet is mature audiences, mm-hmm. subject matter, and not for children.
Now, you mentioned you had done The Producers before.
Mm-hmm.
Also a great Mel Brooks show.
Body.
So, and you mentioned you saw the original Young Frankenstein's film, as I guess we all have.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing you're a Mel Brooks fan.
I do love Mel Brooks. I think he is a very unique voice in the world of comedy and is a personality. I think he's very entertaining. He's just one of these kind of social Forrest Gump types that have been at a lot of interesting places at different points of history and met a lot of very interesting people and kind of, you know, has that catalog of stories that kind of manifest themselves. I mean, you look at his association with Sid Caesar, and you're on your show of shows, which we talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. His association with Carl Reiner, his you know, work in film, his work now in stage over the years, and I think he's just a very prolific, funny guy. He has some stuff he wants to say.
So maybe one day you'll get to direct Blazing Saddles.
I would love to do Blazing Saddles, or if they want to make Spaceballs into a musical, I would be all about that. If they want to, actually, A History of the World, I've heard, is what they're leaning towards.
Oh, really?
As a musical. I don't know that.
I think that's one of his funnier ones.
Well, everybody loves the Inquisition number.
Yes, I do. So, like we said, everyone pretty much knows Young Frankenstein, the film.
Yeah,
do you think that's probably a good thing for box office?
I think it is. I think it's familiar. It's not something so alien or foreign, and I think it appeals to people who may not think, oh, you know, my husband doesn't really like traditional musical theater or romantic musical theater.
Oh, that's one thing. This is definitely a show for guys.
It's more about guys, yeah. And I've had several people say to me that their husbands came willingly because they really wanted to see the show.
Yeah.
We all love the Frankenstein story. We love the idea of the guy, you know, digging up the corpse and reanimating the tissue, and of course in this case the comedy and the romance that ensues from that. But
have you seen the film recently, or do you wanted to purposely stay away from
it? Or? Actually, the first week we had our read through with the cast, the Movie Tavern it was showing in the Retro Cinema Film, and so some of the cast members went to see it, and I took my children to see the original film that night. And that was their first experience, and they knew, you know, lots of the lines already. So,
well, how old are your children?
My son Connor is 11. He was 10 at the time, and my daughter
sophisticated
Jordan.
11.
He's a sophisticated. Who knows who Noel Coward is? And my daughter Jordan is 6.
Whoa, a very sophisticated 6-year-old. Very good.
I will tell you a real quick story.
Yes,
my daughter is in the show because Johnny Bryant, who plays the creature, came to me and said, "How would you feel about, in the chase scene, having a little girl chase me as an homage to the original film?" And I said, "I think that's a great idea, Johnny. Were you thinking of Jordan?" He said, "I was hoping." So I went home and I talked to her mother, my wife Vicky, of 21 years, and I said, "How would you feel about Jordan being in Young Frankenstein?" And she said, "I support it. I think it's a good idea if she wants to do it."
Right.
So we asked Jordan if she wanted to be in Daddy's Play, and she said, "Can I be Inga?"
Oh, that's great.
So she already knew the characters, and so she was already really invested in this idea. But she was happy when I told her she got to chase the monster.
Sure, yeah. Sure. You mentioned your family. Your wife, Vicky, is also very much involved in the theater scene here.
She's also the theater director and the district coordinator for the fine arts and theater in McKinney.
Mm-hmm.
She teaches at McKinney Boyd.
Now, did she work on this show with you?
She did the lights for this show, and she also acted as my producer.
Okay. Do you work often together?
Yeah, we actually started off years ago.
Did you meet through the theater?
We did meet through the theater during a production of Our Town. We had actually met in passing a few years earlier, but we got to know each other a lot better socially during that production. And that led to us seeing each other, and then 3 years later we got married.
So a real theater romance.
Yeah, and we've co-directed about 5 shows together.
I have been involved in productions with my significant other, Julie. I think you know Julie.
I do know Julie.
And I gotta say, our relationship is incredibly harmonious until when we do a show together. Sometimes not so much.
Well, I think we have a good relationship.
But I love working with her. Love you, sweetie.
Well, I think it's tense in a lot of situations. And I think sometimes your spouse particularly expects to have a little more latitude. And it depends on how, you know, when Vicky and I work co-directorship, we have a lot of conversations and a lot of ideas, and there is some give and take on what direction we think things should move. But she has lit almost every show I've done for the past probably 11 years. And so sometimes we clash more with what she thinks as a lighting designer, mm-hmm, versus what my think as a director. And you have to respect it when you ask somebody to come in and be an artist for you and to design something and then to say to them, oh, that's wrong. That's a very delicate conversation.
Yeah.
You know, and so, but there is some tense disagreements about.
Exactly.
Yeah, nothing, you know. But, you know, she always wins.
Julie, too. So you've done a lot of shows here at the campus. I was wondering, do you ever direct outside of Denton at all?
I used to direct a lot of shows outside of Denton. Mm-hmm. But ever since we had kids, I just don't have as much travel time. I don't do as many shows now. I do maybe one show a year. But I used to directed for Louisville. I've directed up in Gainesville. Hmm. And some of the other areas. In fact, I used to do a show almost every year in Gainesville before I got married. So
over at the Runway.
No,
Gainesville. Sorry, yeah. Wrong direction.
Yeah. Butterfield.
Wow. Butterfield.
Yeah, I used to know Tom Talbot up there and Lisa and Ken and some people that were involved with their governing board, and so they used to invite me to come up and be a guest director.
Right.
So.
So, do you have a preference? I mean, you direct musicals, you direct comedies, do you have a favorite genre?
My favorite genre actually is small cast comedies. I think it's a very intimate experience to get together with four or five people and spend 5 weeks working on a show and building that. I think that's a great way to build trust and to build a good product. Musicals I end up doing a lot because I think I just enjoy them for one, but mm-hmm. you know, you're working in conjunction, like in this case, Eileen and I are co-directing, and we have Cindy, our choreographer, and we have John, our music director, and each one of them has their area.
Right.
And so my job is to fuse everybody seamlessly together. And so it's a lot more, I guess, involved and a lot more management as opposed to just so contact with the actors. And I think that's one of the things, because everybody in the creative team has their time, and that's probably what they want more of. You know, you have to take time to learn the music, and then you have to take time to learn the choreography, and then you have to block it, and then you have to try to put them all together. And you always get to a point where somebody says, can I have 45 minutes of rehearsal tonight to work this? We really need to work this.
Right.
And then somebody's right behind them, and I need 20 minutes. I just need 20 minutes to finish this up.
Yeah, it can be real chaos. Yeah. I mean, a musical as opposed to smaller comedy, it's like you said, it's like putting all these pieces, but they're huge chunks, and then working out the minutia. I find it exhausting, but
it's a juggling act. It really, really is. I said it's kind of like, you know, jumping on a trampoline and juggling chainsaws with handcuffs.
So when did you start getting involved with local theater, particularly here in Denton?
I was 14 years old, and my best friend, Todd Peters at the time, was going to audition for a production of Oliver. And I realized...
And that was for Denton Community?
Denton Community Theater. It was in the old Firehouse Theater.
Right.
And I realized that if Todd got cast, he would be busy in the evenings, and I would never get a chance to hang out with him. So I decided to go audition myself. Mm-hmm. And Daryl Woolwine was the director of the theater at the time. He was also directing the production. And Janice LaPointe Crump was the choreographer, and her husband, was the set designer, and Jim Wilson was the stage manager. It was just a lot of people. Ed Glick was the music director. So I went in and I auditioned, and they announced that they would be doing callbacks soon. I didn't know what a callback was.
Right.
But about a day and a half later, Todd got a call back, and he was real, real excited. And so I kept thinking, no, am I going to get my call back? I didn't know. And time passed, and about 3 days later, I got a call back.
Wow.
So I went to the call back, and they announced, this was Oliver, they announced everybody at the call back would have a role in the show. And everybody cheered. And there was probably about 11 little boys there. And so, anyway, we all got a chance to get up and sing again. And so I got up and I sang my part. Well, apparently they were using a system that Daryl had created called YORK, YORK, which is very common. It's just a way to grade people on their audition. You know what it means. So Ys are like, yes, this is strong singer, strong dancer, strong candidate. O's, good, good. This is a good pile. R's are possibly, if we need them, we could do them. K's are thank you for coming, but we're not sure we have a role. The last letter of my last name is a Y. I was put in the Y pile by mistake. They cast Bill Kirkle. Nobody realized their mistake.
Oh, no. You weren't even supposed to be the callback. Oh, my.
And so nobody had the heart to tell me, this little boy, that I wasn't supposed to be in the show. And so that is how I got involved in community theater.
That is a great story, but I have to ask, how did you find out about this?
1 year later, during Sound of Music, I received the Volunteer of the Year award at age 16 because I had spent a whole year doing shows with the theater and I'd gotten so ingrained. And being a only child of a single parent, my mother loved the fact that she could take me down to the theater on a Saturday and drop me off. And I spent days with guys like Jim and Gail and Johnny Williams. And I would, you know, build sets and I would help out and I would paint and I would organize screws. And there was just lots of things to do. And so she thought it was a really positive environment. And so a year after this incident, they were doing the Volunteer of the Year, and they informed me that I received the Volunteer of the Year. And they told the story about how I got cast by mistake and that everybody thought it turned out to be a grand mistake.
Of course. One of those, you know, one
happy
of those twists of fate, and look what has happened.
Yeah, but that's exactly how I got involved in community theater, and I, you know, studied through the theater and through high school. I never took any formal theater in college because, to me, theater was always just my hobby. It wasn't right. something I wanted to try to make a living at. It wasn't something I wanted to try to do professionally.
Right.
And so I like community theater. I like the aspect of working with people. I like the idea that, personally, I love the fact that so many great people have come in and their first show was with somebody like me. That they look back and they say, my first show was with Bill Kerkley, and here I am, you know, 12 years later, and I'm still doing community theater because I had a rich, rewarding experience, and it kept me coming back for more.
Well, we all remember our first show, don't we?
Yes. Well, mine was Oliver.
Right. Just barely, too.
Yeah.
That's a great story. So you, from Oliver, I guess you... you acted through many shows.
Yeah, I did lots of parts in small shows and got involved with the children's theater, and that was, you know, before it was ever called the... It used to be... I forgot what it was called, and then it was the Pied Pipers
for a long
time.
I remember Pied Pipers, yeah.
And eventually it became something else, and then it became theater school.
Well, theater school.
Yeah.
So when did you... How long into it before you decided, well, acting's fun, but I think I might like to call the shots
and be a
director?
Yeah, I always said that, you know, it takes a big ego to say, I should be the star of the show, but I think it takes an even bigger ego to say, you're right, and I should be the one to tell you what to do. No, I did a children's theater show that I think Daryl actually directed, and I was like his assistant on it, and so uh-huh. I kind of got the bug. And then one summer they asked me if I would if I wanted to direct a show, and it was Aladdin and the Magic Lamp, and so I directed it, and I had a lot of fun. And then I think I followed up with Alice in Wonderland. So I did children's theater for about 6 years with the community theater, and then they did the Oldest Living Graduate, and they contacted me and they asked me if I was interested in directing it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had Preston Jones play part of his Texas trilogy. And so I said, well, yeah, so let me read it. And I liked it because I thought it was a funny show, but I liked the characters. And once again, it was a smaller cast. It was kind of that dynamic. And so we got together and we auditioned, and I built a lot of really good friendships that lasted me over the years. And I just felt very empowered and supported, and that was a really, really good feeling. And so that show was very, very well received, and that kind of opened the door to me directing adults.
Wow.
Yeah, and I followed that up with Steel Magnolias, which was a very popular play at the time. It had just come out, and Robert Harling was the toast of Broadway, and you know, it was before the movie had you know, started under production.
Right.
But I'd read the script, and I was just clamoring to do it. And I kept telling everybody, this is a great script. This is an absolutely amazing script. It's a really strong. And so I did my first show with six women. And you don't know what it's like until you have six women always tell you you're wrong. But they were amazing women. They were very talented, but they were very passionate. And so, you know, that was another eye-opening experience for me.
Well, you talk about doing shows with strong scripts and scripts you really like. I got to ask, have you ever taken on a show as a director? Because I will tell you, as an actor, I have. I've done shows where I don't really like the script that much. As a director, have you done that?
Yeah, I've done some a few shows as a favor or to help out or whatever, and I find that if you're just not passionate about it, you just don't get as good a product.
Right.
You know, and that's you know, I think I've become more selective, especially now that I have children in the picture, because if I've got to take 6 to 8 weeks out of my life to go to rehearsals in the evenings, you know, and to be away from them and to sort of, you know, deny them that family time,
right?
You know, then it's got to be something I really care about and I'm very passionate about. So,
now I want to ask, as a director, do you have that? Is there that show that you are burning to do, that dream project that you haven't?
Actually, I've done my dream project twice.
Really?
Yeah.
And which show was that?
It was the first show I ever saw in my life. My mother took me to Casa Mignano when I was 12 years old, and I saw Man of La Mancha. And so I fell in love with the idea of the show. I fell in love with the passion. I fell in love with the notion of bringing a measure of grace to the world, and I fell in love with the impossible dream. Mm-hmm. And she went and rented the checked out the soundtrack with Richard Kiley from the library, and I played it all summer long. Mm-hmm. And I just knew it forwards and backwards. And so I have twice got to direct Man of La Mancha, once for DCT and once for MTD, in this space 10 years apart. And I hope in 10 years' time I can get to do a third production of it.
All right. So much for dream projects. is there one in your mind now that you would like to do? Perhaps not a dream project, but something you'd like to get. Something perhaps you've seen. I know that you go to New York sometimes.
Yeah,
and
I'm very
shows.
Lucky because my wife gets to take her students to New York on occasion, and I get to tag along as a chaperone. So I've been very lucky, especially over the past 10 years, to see a lot of current Broadway. Mm-hmm. and that kind of things. Golly, man, that's a really good question. There's a lot of good stuff that's out there that just appeals to me and my sense of humor and my sense of my artistic aesthetic, I guess. I thought that I can't even think of the name of the show now. This is terrible. You put me on the spot. Yes, really, really good question. That's it. That's right.
Is that a good question to put your guests
yes,
on the spot?
Yes, that's a very good question. I was not prepared to think about something like that.
Oh, that's fine.
I loved the Book of Mormon when I saw it. I thought it was outrageous. And
I did not get to see it, but just, I love I've got the disc. Yeah, that is hilarious.
And I went right during intermission. I went and bought the script because they sold it at the little kiosk in the theater in New York. And I was like, this is just a great script. I don't know that community theaters will ever really get a chance to produce it, but you know, Avenue Q is one of those shows that I wasn't really sure would fly, and we did that, and everybody that came to it praised
really
it
loved
and
it,
loved
yeah.
it, and it worked, and the cast was great, and the puppets all worked out, and I mean that was a real leap of faith. I wasn't sure that an audience in Texas would be as accepting of it, but they embraced it.
That's another hilarious show. I love that show. Oh, I hear the music. That means our time is up. Bill Kirkley, director of Young Frankenstein. Tell people when they can see your show.
Well, it's actually, we have a Thursday night performance tomorrow night to the 24th here in the Campus Theater, and then Friday and Saturday nights, and Sunday will be our closing matinee at 2 o'clock.
Okay. As always, listen to the show at DentonRadio.com. Here at Denton Radio, we do local. thank you to Jake Laughlin, Bill Kirkley, our guest, Jake, our sound engineer, Polly Maynard, for the music you're listening to now. And Mike, if you're listening, say goodnight, Mike.